From Bloomberg News, I am Jennifer Zabasadja, and this is the very first episode of the Next Africa podcast, your weekly dive into business stories from across the continent. I'm really excited to bring you this brand new podcast. From money, politics, and economy to technology, and even fashion and sports, each week with one Bloomberg reporter or multiple, we're going to be lifting the lid on the news driving Africa. And we had a discussion for quite a long time about what topic we should cover first, but then came to a pretty sweet consensus, I'll say. For our first episode, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics and indulgences, chocolate.
A bouquet of delectably different chocolates and caramels, like creamy chocolate noisette. It's enough to cheer anyone up.
A taste sensation, rich, luxurious, unique.
Irresistibly smooth chocolate. To put the world on pause.
It's hard to find someone who is not a fan of chocolate. We all love it in so many different forms, from Kit Kats to Mars or Cadbury, take your pick. But everywhere we go, companies are increasing the cost of your favorite chocolate bars and products. But what's the reason behind it, and what does it mean for the overall industry? That's something we are going to talk about today on the podcast with Mumbi Gitao. Hey, Mumbi, how are you?
I'm good. Hi.
You are the best positioned person, I think, in our newsroom to be speaking about this because you're our soft commodities reporter. Give us a sense of what that job actually entails. Are you just eating all day?
I am not eating all day. If I was, I don't think I'd be standing here.
You may not be actually able to write about it. When it comes to chocolate, I mean, have you always been a fan of chocolate? Were you that kid that was always trying to snatch everybody's chocolate when the candy came out? Or
no, I wasn't. My parents thought it would be better to stay away from chocolate, so anything that had sugar. So in our household, we never bought sweets, we never bought chocolate, but I've fallen in love with dark chocolate. I have to stop myself from going to the supermarket to get some dark chocolate. That way I can convince my mom that it has less sugar and more cocoa, and cocoa is good for my health.
You know, we brought you on because, of course, you are the soft commodities reporter, but also because what we've been covering across Bloomberg platforms for the past few weeks is just the skyrocketing price of cocoa right now. I just saw a banner that said loco for cocoa. I feel like everybody is loco for cocoa right now.
Because now it's more expensive than the likes of copper.
Cocoa has exceeded $9,000 for the first time ever as global supply shortages grip the market.
Why are you stockpiling chocolate? Do you really think that it's going to get that much worse out there?
Are you surprised by what we're seeing?
No, I'm not surprised, and it almost feels like everywhere I turn in this newsroom, everyone is asking me what's happening to the price of cocoa, but it was expected. Everyone you speak to, the traders say, we were going to get here, but it's also fascinating the pace at which we've gotten here. In just a span of 3 months, prices have doubled. We started the year at $4,000 a ton. It's a vertical rise. It almost looks like a rocket launch. So it's not a horizontal one, it's upward. So I think that's been the most fascinating thing about the rally in the cocoa market. So no wonder every other Bloomberg story will be on cocoa.
Let's just take a step back and try to contextualize like how we got here. As somebody who's been watching these commodities for quite a while, where should we start?
We should start from West Africa. So in West Africa, we have Ivory Coast and Ghana. They are the biggest producers of cocoa. And just West Africa alone accounts for 75% of global production of cocoa. So without West Africa, we would basically not have cocoa or chocolate in the world. The rest comes from Latin America, so that accounts for about 25%. And I was in West Africa about 3 months ago. I think we had started to see that there is a problem there. And back then, prices were not shooting as much as they are right now. And as I went through the fields, you could see fields that were flooded. That's because of rains. You could see sick trees. We went to a farm where half the plantation had sick trees that were infected with either black pod or swollen shoot. So it's just a perfect storm of things. We've had climate change, you have diseases, and then to top that is farmers have been paid poorly for the last 40 years. And so if you're not well paid, you don't invest back into your farm. And we've had high inflation in the last 2 years. So farmers have not been able to afford fertilizers, chemicals to tackle diseases. As you can imagine, lack of investment on anything means that investment will not succeed. So it's the lack of pay for farmers, diseases, climate change, just a perfect storm that the cocoa market needed for us to have a deficit.
Is this a uniquely West African problem, or is it something that we are seeing in other parts of the world?
It's a uniquely West African problem because West Africa has been the sole producer of cocoa. So they have many trees, and the problem is that some of those trees are aging. As you know, as you get older, you become less productive, and so is a tree. If a cocoa tree, as the longer it takes, it's in the farm, the less productive it gets. So in Latin America, we are having them plant more new trees. We have new plantations there. So they're a bit more productive. I would call them youthful trees. Whereas in West Africa, we have old trees. And as you get older, then you're less productive. And because of that, West Africa's production is falling, and now the world is going to have a third year of deficit. What that means is that we are consuming more chocolate than we are producing cocoa.
I mean, is eating less chocolate really the solution here for consumers?
I don't know if you're like me, but every time I go to the supermarket and I go to the chocolate aisle, I cover the market, so I know what's coming. I know why prices are rising. But when I look at that cost, I'm thinking to myself, do I buy carrots? Do I buy chocolate?
And what do you usually do? I'm assuming chocolate.
Chocolate, but then the next day I'll take carrots, which is much cheaper. So I'm having to trade off. And so that's a choice that consumers will have to make. Companies will still have to buy cocoa to meet their products and to be able to supply their consumers with their favorite chocolates. And I don't think there's a way around it, as this cost will have to be passed on to consumers. And we had the Mondelez chairman and CEO speak on Bloomberg TV the other day about this.
Our input cost keeps on going up. Some are flat, some are coming down, but cocoa, sugar in fact also, and hazelnuts are the ones that are going quite high, and they're important in our product. So we unfortunately have to increase prices again.
They say the cure for high prices is high prices. And you have to come to a point where these high prices bring down demand significantly, that prices come down. So it will be less demand that will bring prices back to the point of equilibrium. Otherwise, if we continue to eat more chocolate, then prices continue to go up.
So Mumbi, is this going to start eroding the bottom line of some of these companies to the point where they may even start rethinking how much exposure their portfolios actually have to chocolate?
What the companies are trying to do first is to cut production costs. We've seen companies that have started laying off some of their staff that they think they can do without because they're automating more. We've seen companies consider closures of factories that they think are too expensive to run, either because they've been there for too long and therefore running them is a lot more expensive. So they'll consider cutting production costs where they can. And then in the long run, they'll try and push less products that have less cocoa in them, or try and push products that do not cut into their bottom line to make sure that they are still running. Some of these companies don't just thrive on cocoa alone or on chocolate alone. They have other products on their portfolio. So they might try to push consumers to buy those cheaper products as they wait for cocoa prices to come down. That's if they will ever come down to levels that we've seen before.
Well, and Mumbi, that's on the end of the supply chain. Let's just start at the beginning with the actual cocoa farmers. How is this all affecting them? Because you mentioned this has been slow and steady getting to this point, but where are they at right now?
I think farmers are looking at the rally, or they're probably hearing about the rally in the prices, and they're wondering, when are we going to reap benefits of this? So farmers in Cameroon, in Nigeria, in other parts of the world that are more liberalized are realizing the benefits of this rally. But farmers in Ivory Coast and Ghana, the prices there are set by the government, and they're usually set a year in advance. So that means they've not seen the benefits of this rally. And we are hearing that there's more pressure on the government to make sure that they start to push on these prices to the farmers, that the prices for farmers are raised. If they don't do that, then we won't have more cocoa growing in the farm. So it's, I think, in the government's interest to make sure that farmers are well remunerated, and that this rally that is meant to benefit the farmers does actually benefit the farmers.
Are we seeing any of the governments really take some serious measures into consideration here to help with that?
It's not clear right now because, as I said, Ivory Coast and Ghana sell forward. So they've already reached agreements with exporters for this season and year in advance. So there's little wiggle room for them in this season, but they can do that in the next season as they sell forward for the next crop. So we might see more changes maybe starting October when the season starts. But between now and October, there's very little wiggle room for the governments to work around.
Is there a risk of maybe doing too much, especially because we don't really know where the price of cocoa is going? Or is this needed for the farms across Ivory Coast and Ghana?
I wouldn't say there's a risk of doing too much, as not much has been done. So if you look at where the price is, farmer is earning less than a sixth of where the price is. So there's still room for us to close the gap between what the price on the futures market is and what the farmer gets. So I think that is where the industry wants to get at. And this was probably going to come. I think there's just a lot that has been happening for the sector. And this is the point where they have to realize that farmers need the money to grow more. And unless they're well remunerated, then you won't be getting the cocoa. And then that's going to increase the cost for you, and you may probably lose your consumers.
So Mumbi, this is just one of the many challenges, as you mentioned, that farmers are facing. I mean, what else is sort of hitting the industry right now that is having a significant impact on what's happening on the ground at some of these farms?
I think the biggest one, apart from prices, that is keeping them awake is what we call the EUDR. That's European Deforestation Law. That law is going to change how the cocoa market works, particularly in Europe. That law will require every farmer, every trader, every importer of cocoa, whoever brings cocoa into the European Union, to show that that cocoa was not grown on deforested land. Now, that's a big ask for an importer. If you bring any shipment, you have to show that it was not grown on land that was recently deforested. What does that mean? They have to have the GPS coordinates of every farm where they sourced their cocoa. That's additional costs, because these companies, from Cargill to Ecom to Teuton, all these companies need to have boots on the ground and map every farmer and make sure that that farmer is not in forested land. So apart from the rising cocoa prices, they have a regulation that will be implemented at the end of this year that they have to follow, that they have to adhere to. So most companies are concerned, yes, about cocoa prices, but they're also looking at the timeline they have to comply with the EUDR and make sure that by December 29th or December 30th, that they are able to trace every cocoa that they bring into the EU.
How does that even work? I mean, in rural parts of Africa, I mean, how are you going to have the coordinates and some of these details that the EU is looking for?
First of all, the supply chain is just so complex. The farmer and the trader, they're almost like six intermediaries between them. And so that cocoa is just constantly switching hands. And then how are you going to tell a farmer to map their land? They probably do not own a smartphone. They probably do not even know what you're talking about when you say GPS coordinates. So it's going to be really the burden of the importer to do that. And trust me, if they have to take on more costs, there is no way they are going to absorb it into their own bottom line. They'll probably make sure that the consumer pays for that. But it's a huge ask for importers. But the EU just wants to make sure that deforestation is not happening in these countries. Cocoa has been blamed for driving deforestation in Ivory Coast and in Ghana. To make sure that that doesn't happen, they want to make sure that importers take responsibility of where the cocoa is coming from.
And Mumbi, just getting back to cocoa and what we've seen over the past 3 months, when we think about the end of the year, can you use your crystal ball and give us your ideas or your outlook for what you think? Because there's some analysts who we've been speaking to who think that we could see a crash soon. What do you think? What's the trajectory here?
I wish I had the crystal ball to begin with. But just looking at the market fundamentals, it's unlikely we'll get a supply response to see production come out of nowhere. It takes 4 or 5 years for a cocoa tree to start producing. So even if farmers went to the field and planted cocoa right now, we won't see those pods until after 3 to 4 years. That's when we'll see that production. Prices may correct. They may come down from the level we are seeing right now, but they won't go back to the levels that we saw a year ago or 2 years ago. Prices will still remain high because it's about balancing supply and demand. We are heading into the third year of deficit. Supply response will not be there. So it's just a matter of finding that equilibrium, and that equilibrium will still be higher prices. So consumers have to get used to higher prices until when we see the supply response from these countries, which is not this year, not next year. So there's no relief in sight for now.
So Mumbi, is the future of what's really happening right now, are we heading to a state where it's going to be a luxury like we've seen with some other items like caviar or something? Will it be a luxury for kids to eat chocolate down the road?
Yes, but I think Europe, which is the largest consumer of chocolate, will probably still consider it an essential item. But for other parts of the world, maybe Asia or Africa, that will remain a luxury. As we see these increases, it will be out of reach for other people, maybe in middle income areas, probably in the developing countries. But I think for developed countries like Europe and the US, chocolate will still be a nice treat to have every weekend or every once in a while.
All right. Thank you so much, Mumbi, for this insight into the cocoa industry and also all the soft commodities that you're covering day in, day out. We really appreciate having you on the first pod. I think the big takeaway here is that there's real challenges across the board in the industry. It's really hitting farmers on the ground. Farmers need the support, the financial support, to be trickling to their pockets in order to help support a lot of the disease and the decay that we've been seeing on a lot of these farms for the past few years. But that needs to come in the form of government stepping in to help with some of this regulation. And hopefully then the higher prices will at least even themselves out, although I think some of us hope that they'll come down a bit. So we'll have to wait and see how that pans out, and also how the EU regulation around deforestation really affects the industry more broadly, and whether we're going to see some of these big chocolate makers, these big companies taking a hit. But, you know, for me at this time, I think I'm just going to focus on stocking up on as much chocolate as I can while the prices stay where they are. This program was produced by Christopher Pitt and Leon Uidrago. And you can hear more stories like this one on the next Africa podcast, available every week wherever you usually get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Zabasadja. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.